Hey, Rob, good morning. Happy Veterans Day.
Oh, thank you. Happy Veterans Day to you.
Yeah, well, no, you actually did the hard work, right?
Well, you know, when you're that young, you don't even know it's hard work.
Is there? You just roll with it, right?
Just do what they tell you to do every day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate it. We went to a Veterans Day breakfast this morning that my son's coach had put on. So it was a nice way to start the day.
Yeah, I'm reading a book about, it's a diary from Okinawa by a Marine. And yeah. if you ever thought war had any inkling of being glamorous, that takes it all away. Mm. I mean, you think World War I was nasty, and we always think it's just like the most awful experience anybody could ever go through. Okinawa was worse.
Wow.
It's just unbelievable. You got to read it just to know.
What's the name of that book, bro?
It's the name of it is, it's a funny name. It doesn't sound like it's anything about,
while he's looking, Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
Now, Andy, I don't know if you served or not, but if you did, thank you, sir.
I did not. I was right at the tail end of the Vietnam War.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, right when they stopped the draft. That was a crazy time.
Oh, boy.
Back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to, my son's coach, his travel ball coach. He's a vet, but he has done so much for these kids. And, I can't thank the guy enough for his community involvement and the work he does with all the young people, here, but he's given all these kids a home, you know, like a second family. And they're all developing into these, you know, big men now, you know, some of them we've been playing with for the last 4 years.
That's terrific.
Fun to watch. Yeah. So
no, that's terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he expected to get more people than he did, but I'm hoping it'll pick up as the morning goes. But he's done a big outreach and, is doing a little fundraiser for, I think it's, Wounded Warriors that the money's going to go to. So it's nice.
Very, very nice.
It's called With the Old Breed, and the guy's name is Sledgehammer. And it's the guy that is in the with the Marines there, and it's amazing. And there's a HBO miniseries, The Pacific, which kind of gives you a better, you know, a visual sense of it, but his name is E.B. Sledge, who wrote it.
Great name.
Yeah, and they called him Sledgehammer. But he made, you know, it's just impossible. He did impossible. Now, listen, guys, we're in the middle of a hurricane here. So if I lose power, which I just got two flashes then, I will see you later.
Wow. I didn't realize. So this is Ada.
This is Ada. Yeah, we're south of it, but we're getting a storm surge right now that's just inching up to my pool.
Oh wow.
We're right on the water. So we just looked. The 9:30 I think was the high tide, and it's my little backyard. I got mangroves and a little backyard, then a little elevation and my pool. And I'm on that elevation. The pool is right there. So,
how long is it going to be? Did they give you an estimate of when it's going to roll out?
Well, it's tomorrow.
Oh, wow. So you get it for a while.
So we have, it isn't the rain. It's the surge. It's the ocean that is the problem. And if it takes my pool, it might take my office. So,
jeez.
Yeah, so we're right down here, and I've got my internet there, and so anyway, I'm it's good, all good, but I'm you know, a little concerned,
slightly distracted,
slightly stressed. I've got my granddaughter here, who thinks this is the greatest thing and wants to go kayaking in my backyard.
God gives you lemonade.
Everybody
gives you lemons, right?
We have so much fun, you know. She's my little, you know, my little golf partner.
She's a mini-me.
She's the one I go play golf with every afternoon.
Yeah. Is she there in the office with you?
Right there. I got two desks there.
Oh, nice. Good.
Let's see if we can meet her.
That's fun. Hello there, golf pro.
Very cute. Very, very cute.
Aww.
Yeah, we're having fun. She has to go to school, you know. Not today, though. We don't have school today, so. Yeah, because it's Veterans Day. They have school off, which is great. So, anyway. All right. What's on your mind? Other than Veterans Day, which is very nice of you to remember. Thank you.
Well, you know, just busyness going on here, I guess, more than anything. I feel like I'm in the thick of it. So
the big themes in acquisition are accountability. Okay. Now I watched a video on late night one night, and there were two themes that I got out of it. One was face the truth. Okay. And when you talk to Larry Wilson or Jim Lehrer in their change models, the very first thing was face the truth. It's so interesting. Larry's was stop, challenge, choose. You've got a map in your head of what the world is, right? It was built from the time you could first remember anything. And that map stays there until you decide that the map is outdated. And like any physical map, it's immediately outdated. But we tend to maintain the map in our head, even from our youngest ages. Without the real knowledge that it's outdated and probably not even relevant. So somebody said we were either really good looking or we weren't good looking. That stays with us as one of the maps in our head as to our self-image. And one of the things you have to do as an adult is build a new map based on given reality. Now, what's real? Well, what's real is what you decide is real. What is truth? Whatever you decide is true, right? What is fact? We all know what are facts, right? Determined by humans. So a lot of what you think about yourself is determined in your childhood and stays with you, and it should not, right? Because we aren't who we used to be. Every 7 years, every cell in our body changes. So our whole body is new. So we should be new, our brain should be new, and we should think differently. So stop, challenge, and choose is stop for a minute, because you instantly make a decision. And we used a poll in the it was experiential learning. So we used a ropes course. And climbing the pole is one thing that you can use to help understand fear. And so the reason we're less successful in life is because of fear. And some of it's real and some of it's not. So what we want to do is determine what is real fear and what is made up fear. So when we're going up the pole, a lot of people have fear of heights, which is built, you know, from their childhood. Something happened that made them afraid, and now they're afraid of heights. And what you want to do is to help them to overcome that fear as a metaphor to the rest of their life for the rest of their fears. So if fear is our biggest, the thing that holds us back the most, then what we want to do is learn techniques to overcome our fear. Now, you know, we're not running from lions anymore. And yet our body and our mind still thinks that, you know, certain things are like lions and will kill us. If we're late for an appointment, he uses the analogy of late for an appointment, I will not make the sale. If I don't make the sale, I'll lose my job. If I lose my job, I'll lose my house. If I lose my house, I'll lose everything. I'll lose my family. I won't be able to eat. I'll starve and I'll die under a bridge. Okay. So what we do is it's called awfulizing. So we take and awfulize a simple situation of being late where you call the guy and say, I'm going to be late. And he goes, fine. But no, we don't do that. We sweat and panic and freak out, right? So that's what they do when they're about to go up the pole is they sweat and panic. And you go, wait a minute, you're strapped in. Feel these people holding you. You cannot fall, right? And get them to agree. You can't fall. So stop, challenge your thinking, and then make a choice. You can stop and not go up even one step, or you can step up one step. And then step up one step. How do you feel? Frightened. Okay, but you're safe, right? Right. Okay, how about going up another step? And then we get them all the way up the pole. And then they jump off the pole and touch the thing and come back and be crying and excited and having overcome a fear, which they hadn't done since they were 10, you know. When they went to camp, they jumped in the water and learned to swim. And so that's what we have to do as adults is to stop, challenge, and choose because we've got this map of who we are allowed to do business with, who we're not, who we're allowed to call, who we're not. And those are all false, right? So that's what you need to do as a coach for your FAs, and we need to do for you, and you need to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. The second most important thing I got out of that was you're not alone. Okay? Now, there's a spiritual side to that, right? That God is there, Jesus is there, you're not alone. And I share that with you because I know you're committed. And that gives you tremendous comfort. But you're not alone also has to mean that you are accountable. Okay? And if you don't have somebody to be accountable to, we achieve much less. Now I took 30 guys every year down to Jim Lehrer. For the weekend, give them a full-on physical and taught them how to breathe properly, exercise, you know, what is good nutrition, built a business, kind of a life plan for them, and then sent them home. And one year I said, I want to see results. So I said, we're going to do this for a year. So I took them down. This was after they did a million.
Mm-hmm.
After they did a million, instead of buying a steak dinner, I take them down to Jim Lehrer's for the weekend. And I said, okay, this is a year long program, guys. So once we were done, I said, we're coming back in 6 months and we'll measure everybody's progress. It's your progress, not versus anybody else, but you versus you. And our recommendation is that you get a nutritionist if you need it. But definitely get a personal trainer. so that you have an accountability coach. So it was proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet. Brought them back 6 months. Those that had gotten, the quick bottom line, those that had gotten a trainer made dramatic increases in their overall strength. Every part of their life was better. Even though they only had a personal trainer for their health, their nutrition was better. Well, they brought their heart rates down because they'd worked out. And so we said, okay, that worked, right? Everybody go get a personal trainer. And everybody did. And they all made dramatic increases. All right. So what does that tell you? We need a personal trainer for our marketing effort. Otherwise, you will make no progress. That's what I've discovered in all of this coaching, is that I can be the greatest coach in the world, but if they don't have accountability for their activities, then we will make no progress.
Yeah.
So who is that accountability coach? We used to call them bilateral contracts, right? So I ran a marathon. I could not have run the marathon if I didn't have a running buddy. I bike Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Why? Because the doc shows up at 6:20 at my desk. Hey, come on. Anyway, so the doc shows up, right? So I bike. So we're all the same. We're all fallible human beings that would rather sleep than go exercise. And we'd rather, you know, so the answer is you got to get a coach. You got to get a personal trainer. You got to get a partner. You got to get, in this case, get somebody in your life. Now, who is that initially? Why does Supernova work? Because your assistant is your accountability coach when it comes to calling your clients. He or she sets up your 12-4-2. And you do it. So it's like a machine, right? She is the input and you're the output. Boom. And you love it because you do it. And the clients love it because you do it. Right? They love it because they know they're gonna get a call. And you love it because you know you're going to call them and nobody feels guilty. Everybody feels informed and it's the virtuous loop. So this virtuous loop is all dependent on one person, and that's your assistant who makes the phone call, set them up. If she fails, the whole system fails. So she doesn't fail. She knows she's part of a virtuous loop, and therefore she gets much more satisfaction. Her benefit is you substitute a concierge practice for an ER. So her life changes dramatically for the better. Now that works great. What about acquisition? Same thing. She can be the virtuous loop in your acquisition strategy. And what you do is you make an appointment with your strategies. So you have 7 different strategies. You don't need to do them all at once, but you should do some of them. And so what you do is you say, okay, I'm going to make an appointment with my strategy for center of influence. Okay, so you put that in the calendar just like it's a client appointment. You make a folder and you show up. Now, it's best if you can do it with somebody else, with her, with anybody. But you review your initiative on centers of influence. So you make one up for niche marketing. And you do the exact same thing. What's our initiative for niche marketing? How are we doing? Especially by yourself. If you have a team, it's much easier because then everybody gets together and talks about it. Mm-hmm. That's why we call that the game board or the giving board. So we keep track of it. And then when you develop a center of influence, which you already have, you make up a folder for each one of them and you put them on your calendar at a mutually agreeable time and you call them or see them, just like you do now. You do well with your centers of influence because you see them on a regular basis.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now that makes you unique in the world, by the way.
Really?
You don't think you're unique because that's what you do, but I see you as unique because that's what you do. You already have this. You already have your network. You already have your centers of influence. You may even have a mastermind group, which you don't even call a mastermind group, but it's your Bible study group or it's your something, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those things you hold yourself accountable because they're appointments. You have regularly scheduled times to see those people. So what you want to do is when you review these seven strategies, you want to say to yourself, which ones do I really want to embrace and which ones do I need accountability? If I'm going to embrace it, I need accountability for it. So it's not even worth talking about unless you build in an accountability system for it. And Andy, this is what we've done wrong, okay, in the past. We have not emphasized this piece of it. I tell it, I talk about it, but I don't make it so important as I am right now. I'm introducing it as don't do it unless you're going to build the accountability. Don't even bother trying. Because it won't work.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about that. I've got, you know, whether it's, you know, I'm fortunate right now. I've got a business development person, but they're out of Atlanta. But it's somebody that I've known for a very long time, and they're interested and available. And he checks on me about, you know, once a month and we talk about Supernova, for a few minutes, but I've noticed that's waned a little bit as he's gotten distracted, but I could have a conversation with him about a couple of these things. And I think for him, this might be something cause he's been asking about, or he would, when we talked about it, he said, you know, find what I can be the most helpful with in this. And use me for that. And maybe it is that accountability.
What's his what's he good at? What's his specialization?
He's good at a lot of things. The main thing he's good at is his background is as an analyst for, you know, our managed money platforms. I mean, that's what he's really good at. He is really good, I will say, at you know, as I've been trying to get better at it, kind of the director of resource management, he knows where all the resources are. And if he doesn't, he's very persistent about following up to figure out where the resources are. So if you need to get in with somebody, even if it's not something he specializes in. So he's good at that. And he's good at, it's almost a little too much, but he's good at, I think what he's trying to do is trying to just hit everything. He does more of a shotgun approach with all the firm's initiatives and everything that's going on. So he's trying to find pockets of interest where he can develop.
So is he paid for by the firm?
Yes. Yeah, he is. And we've had something I haven't been close with in the past, but this guy I've known for a long time and I used to use him in a different capacity. He left the firm and came back. So
you just like your look, you put everybody into the, whatever they are the best at, and then you ask for their help as an accountability coach.
Okay.
So you want to make him whatever you decide. I mean, he sounds helpful, but it doesn't sound like, you know, he knows exactly what you need or where you guys are going to put together. So I would do some brainstorming together and come up with, okay, here are my strategies that I want to work on. this is what I'm really good at. This is what I need to work on. So I'm not sure where he would fit in, but that all I'm telling you is he's not going to be a big help to you unless you use him as an accountability coach. Mm-hmm. And you got to make it a 12-4-2. So once a month, you basically write a report for him how you did versus what you agreed to. And then you present it to him like he's your boss.
Okay.
So we talked about virtual engagement associates, right?
Virtual engagement associates. Yeah.
That's what the firm provides, for a fee, but one that I want you to, engage with. Carlos Noriega is the guy that runs that department, and this will help you to leverage yourself. The name of your game is leverage. So you want to do, I always used to say, do less better. Focus. And if somebody else can be working for you and you pay them some money, $3,000 or something, and they're full, you know, they're helping you develop your website, you're posting on LinkedIn, they're working on your Instagram, they're doing everything for you and making you look like a hero.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. And they can help you do research when you need it on somebody to, you know, selling a business and following up to get the money. I mean, that's to me the one thing that you should definitely have is you should have Columbus locked up in terms of anybody selling a business. You should know who's selling their business, when, and for how much, and you should be the FA getting the money. It's kind of a given. You're big enough and important enough there that you can do that. So you should have a mastermind group around that concept with everybody hunting all the time and then everybody referring the other one to that when it happens. It's going to happen a couple times a year. And right now with my group retiring, right? It's a big, you know, the guys that want to retire early at 60, they've been long gone, but the guys, you know, that's 14 years ago. But there's still guys like me that are hanging on, and they're, you know, in 74, you start to go, well, maybe I shouldn't be quite as involved as I have been. And you, and so you sell, right? So the whole baby boomers are turning over. Look at what's happening with the offices. Look at what's happened with the FAs retiring and shifting their businesses to other FAs. It's a massive shift of money. And if you don't have that locked up, that's like the very first thing you should do. And if I were you, I would have you decide who are the players, the guys that, you know, value the business, whether it's a business broker that sells it or the CPA that values it, an attorney that does the paperwork, a realtor that sells the building. And then a psychologist that helps the guy through the process of retirement. Those are all important people that you can bring to bear as professionals to help a person through that whole process instead of them scouting around for this or that and never hiring the psychologist and then getting depressed and being pissed off they sold their business and unhappy and miserable and make their wife miserable. So you can be a big help for them. So that's your mastermind group or around or your niche mastermind group. The niche is people that are selling their businesses. The mastermind group are all the specialists to help them during that process. If you want to read about it, read the chapter on supernova multiplier niche mastermind groups. That will really solidify it for you.
Okay.
So this is why we do it all, guys. Probably can't read that, but it says. and then on the other side.
Oh.
So wait, so that's her name. I didn't ever knew your granddaughter's name is Juliet.
Juliet, like Romeo and Juliet. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that, Rob.
Oh, that's sweet. You're lucky.
You know what? We have no idea how life is going to turn out for us, but I can say I'm really lucky. Living the dream.
You are living the dream.
I really am. But I try not to, you know, I don't want to tell people that. You know, I want to just say, yeah, it's good. But it's great. It's great. And the only thing that happens is your health, right? The only thing that can go wrong at this stage is your health.
Yeah.
But the key is to be others focused, to be a true servant leader and do it for other people. And then the passion comes out and everybody likes you. And then life is good to you. You don't need to worry about the money. You don't need to just be out there helping lots of people. And doing the right thing, and just all happens, you know.
Eric, I would agree with that. I'm same way. I'm blessed. So he's absolutely correct about that.
We were both maniacs. That's why I like Andy, because he was a complete nutcase like I was. We were.
I was.
You know, we were.
You say that in the most affectionate way.
No. He's told me his story, and it's just sounds identical. We were both. You know, when you're your age and it's just, you don't have any clue. You just think it's a big game and you want to win, right? And so you just, and you go for it. And that was a blast. I never had more fun.
Right.
But, you know, in retrospect, I think maybe I could have kept my eye on the crystal balls, the ones that break a little more. Mm-hmm. Because you forget, you just kind of forget, you know, you think you're doing it for them and you're doing it for your ego. And the ego is when the hero's journey, Larry Wilson, you know, I had a chance. I came down here to this island because of Larry. And Larry used to talk and he talked about the hero's journey and the hero's journey is about the reluctant hero, the little girl or the little boy that goes out and the dragon is attacking the village and they reluctantly go and everybody gives them armor and they go out and they have to all these obstacles they fight along the way and then finally defeat the dragon and come home and they're a hero, right? But in reality, it's really about your overcoming your own ego. Mm-hmm. The ego is the devil in the end. It's your own sense of importance. And if you can understand that in your journey, that it is to become selfless, become a true servant leader, and that's where the joy is, then you get it. And then you can work on it at an earlier age than we did.
Yeah.
So, hey, Derek, I was going to ask you, you had mentioned you had a challenging FA in the last session that you were meeting with.
Yeah, he just knocked on my door. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. No, everything's been good.
I was wondering how it went. And, you know, before you answer it, I would just tell you from personal experience, that is where I have some regrets, is sometimes managing people that were very challenging, that they could take you down a rabbit hole very quickly, mm-hmm. in a discussion, even though you were all prepared before. But what I found was if you really came across and were legit, like Rob just said, being a servant leader and took that approach with them, even though there was a lack of trust in their mind sometimes initially, that over time you could earn that trust and, you know, then you could do more for them down the road. So I was just curious how you made out in that last meeting.
I guess we've opened, you know, we've got open lines of communication.
Right.
And I've noticed that he's, he gets to a tipping point, you know, when we talk, and there's things he works himself up on, but then he draws it back and he doesn't change the conversation, but he goes back to something else that we were talking to just a minute ago before he gets back on track. And I've noticed he's been working to do that, and I appreciate that. So, because there's some things I just can't do anything about. There are certain things where you can get angry at him or whatever, but ultimately they're out of all of our control. None of us can do anything about it. So we can either spin our wheels and get really upset and blow our whole morning or day or whatever it's going to be, or you can focus on what you can control. And, you know, he's getting better at that. So it's little, I consider him little wins, but I don't know what he was knocking on my door about. So
right. We'll 4 o'clock.
Yeah, key to successful meetings with that. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
No, guess who shows up on my island? That one guy. And he's now my best friend.
That right? He's there.
Not really. Not really. Not at all. But he thinks he is.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
Well, I never lost it with him. I always, you know, I did the right thing. I was nice to him. And I, you know, I listened, but I'd do it at 4 o'clock because I knew I could take 45 minutes of him and that was it. My brain would be scrambled and I didn't want my rest of my day wrecked. So you just really have to, because these guys, you know, they don't mean to be, I mean, his favorite expression was no good deed goes unpunished.
Yep.
And so that kind of tells you, right? He would constantly be reminding me and anybody else about all the good deeds he did and how he got punished for. So anyway, you're not going to fix him, okay? And don't even try. That's a Jesus complex, right? Jesus complex. Don't get the Jesus complex. You cannot fix him. What you're going to do is be nice and compartmentalize him, put him in a box and open the box, work with it, put it back in the box.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, we used to.
That's what I do. I just don't think about it that way, but that is what I do.
And that's what you do with problems too. Problems that you can't solve now. You know, in a submarine, you got the door, right? And then that's what you do with those problems. You put them in their little box and you seal them up and then you work. And then when you need to, you open up that box and you work with it and then you put it back in. Because you can't let that little thing wreck the rest of your day or you become completely unproductive. People say, I wrecked my day because of this. Well, you can't afford that. Productive human beings cannot do that. Okay.
All right. As always, you give me some good stuff here.
Well, it's never what I think it's going to be.
Is that right?
You kind of look, there are certain people that are open to a higher level of understanding of psychology and human behavior and life. And they're very coachable and they're eager learners. You're one of those guys. So you're going to get a lot out of this course because you get me going. And Andy will tell you, he's like, I've never heard this, Rob. That's not in your manual, right?
happening. I told you, it's like it's the guy that wanders, it's a professor that wanders around the university, and he's got three or four, students behind him just writing down the things that he says as it comes out.
So, Derek, I wrote one word down to describe Rob recently, and the word is profound.
Profound? Yeah, that's
profound.
A good one.
He is very profound sometimes.
Yeah, you're good.
I'll take that. You want to tell my wife?
It doesn't work that way, Rob. Trust me.
You could put it on your towels, hang it in the bathroom, right. Profound.
Andy says I'm profound, Marshall.
That's right. One of the things that I've discovered is sometimes when you go into church and you read the sermon for the day and you're like, that's not going to be anything, I'm interested in or whatever. And then all of a sudden you feel like, am I the only one in this place? I mean, you wrote this just for me. Well, how did you do that?
He's talking to me.
Right. He's talking to me. So some of the things you just.
That's why I used to love public speaking, because what I found was when I would talk to my officers, I'd be going around talking to all the officers about a theme, right? And what would happen was I'd start out kind of, it's okay, not great. Then I'd kind of get to this crescendo where people were like, do you have that in writing? Right. And no. And then I'd kind of get a little tired of saying the same thing, and I'd get down here, So then I had to really work to keep it up there. And I used to ask Larry, I said, Larry, how many speeches do you have? He said, Rob, I have one speech. I just give it 16 different ways.
Keys to a successful speaker, right?
He was a world champion speaker. He was the most entertaining guy.
Listen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys. They are blowing me up all over the place here.
Yep. Goodbye.
All right. Good luck with the hurricane. Have a great day today. Andy, it was great to see you.
Bye, guys.
Okay. All right. Stay safe, Rob.
Yeah, we'll do.
Bye-bye.